Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I believe the Bible helps yourself.
I believe God wants us to be positive toward ourselves. I like the way I look. I like the way I sound.
You have to ask the question to say, who am I? Why am I? What am I?
Well, hello. It's not for us. Thank you very much. I mean, people are walking out the door going, well, I didn't get a lot out of that today. Well, how much did you put into it? Because, see, it really wasn't for you. We came here today to worship God. You know your church is healthy when people are going to lunch going, God, how did you feel about it? Did you like it? Because we came for you.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, wow, is that awful.
Todd.
Hey.
Todd, showtime. Time to start the old show. Do the old deed.
Was just going to have a little chit-chat, a little morning, afternoon. How are you? How was your weekend? What you enjoyed the fireworks like everybody else does when they first start work. But I try to just ease into things a little bit. And what do I get from you? Chop, chop, let's start the show. You take a little break, you want to come back, and boom, you just get thrown right into the fire. Nice to be back.
Where is that dead horse?
Okay, I think I'm ready now. This is Wretched Radio. Hey, guess what I did this weekend? I was the one who went to see the Lone Ranger movie. I'm kidding. I wasn't the one. Apparently, sales not so good.
No.
And I couldn't be happier. Could it just look any creepier? Could it look any weirder? Could it look any more mystical? So I decided...
The dead bird on the head was a little annoying.
Well, you got to know something's up with that, that it's going to be, and it's, you know, and Tonto, just, what was that whole anime, whatever, pasty, whatever thing that he was doing? So I looked it up, it plugged in online, because that's what every Christian should do before going to the movies. Don't want to be a legalist about this. The swearing, moderately bad. It's the blasphemy, of course, that always gets me. But it was the spiritual stuff. What did every Christian look like? Well, let me just put it this way. If every Christian in the Lone Ranger movie were a dinosaur, they'd all be Adoposaurus Rex. Okay, just dumb. They pray, but it doesn't happen. They look like the Puritans, and they're idiots. The spiritualists and the Native Americanisms, that all looked very cool, at least according to Plugged In Online Christianity. Not so much. So I'm glad that it kind of tanked. The thing cost $225
million.
$1 million. Ah, don't want to sound greedy, but you know what we could do with just crumbs from that table? Let's just say it would paint Christianity in a good light. Hey, speaking of movies, anybody see Invictus? Okay, I grant you a little bit on the dated side.
I know.
But Peter Hammond sent out an email. I don't know if you know Dr. Peter Hammond. He's from South Africa. He's a missionary there. And he once again was on about the movie Invictus because Nelson Mandela is back in the news. Not for good reasons. Well, I don't know that he's ever been in the news, frankly, for good reasons. But Nelson Mandela is back in the news because, well, it looks like he's dying. It looks like he is reaching the end. And President Barack Obama said Nelson Mandela is his hero. So I'm reading this article by Dr. Peter Hammond on Nelson Mandela, reminding me in the review of the movie Invictus that Nelson Mandela, do not be deceived, is not this saint that everybody portrays him as. This man was, well, as Elvis would say, man, he's evil. He was a bad guy. If you recall, Peter Hammond joined us to talk a little bit about Nelson Mandela. Would like to share this with you to remind us all as we start to receive more and more news reports as he appears to be dying and soon to meet his maker. Don't let the media deceive you.
Nelson Mandela's a Marxist. He wrote the book How to Be a Good Communist, which was incident to test me at his trial. The man is a humanist on every level.
Now, before we get to the humanist part, he's a Marxist. He's a communist. He's Barack Obama's hero. Okay, then, back to the humanist part.
Pushed through legalization of abortion,
nice.
Pornography, homosexual relationships. He put into the Constitution protection for sexual preferences. Nelson Mandela has put forward so many things, trying to legalize prostitution. He's a radical liberal and a humanist of note. And we've challenged him, and I spent an hour discussing these very matters with him when he was president, and he summoned me to his home because
cool.
I just marched 30,000 people outside his offices to protest.
How cool is that? I'm telling you. I think Peter's going to be back in the States this fall. He sent me an email. Hold on, let me pick up that name. He sent me an email stating he's going to be back in the fall. He said, are you ready for the... I think that I'm... Because even his emails have that charming accent. I think that I'm going to be in Atlanta this September. Oh, would it be profitable for me to stop by? Nah, it's never interesting with Peter. Who likes to hear stories about having a little chit-chat with Nelson Mandela after you march 30,000 people in protest against him outside of his office? Nah, that wouldn't be fascinating at all. This guy, I've had dinners with Peter Hammond. You zip it if you're wise. You just sit and listen. This guy has been in more situations, can tell more exploits out on the missionary field than anybody I think I've ever met. Just jaw-dropping stuff. Peter Hammond has been in South Africa for 20, 30 years now. He's seen people come, he has seen them go, and he knows that Nelson Mandela, bad dude.
In policies. So I'm astounded that so many in the West idolize Nelson Mandela and lift him up as a messianic figure because they obviously don't know what he teaches, what he believes, or what he does, or his support for some of the most radical Marxist dictatorships on the planet with some of the worst human rights records, such as the governments of Red China and Cuba. And he has supported these dictators wholeheartedly and received them to South Africa with the greatest honors. And Clint Eastwood's latest film, Invictus, which does more of this distortion of history and rewriting of reality, this has not helped either. There's a lot of Christians out there who idolize Nelson Mandela just because they've only been given false, misleading, mm-hmm. and incomplete information.
Music does that. Do you remember how heresies were spread like wildfire throughout the early church ages? Music. People would write songs. They were catchy little numbers that had their false teachings in them. And it helped people to get it inside of their noggins and start believing the heresy. Today, music can do that. A lot of bad worship music. A lot of music loaded with a lot of stuff that I think is getting stuck in people's head. Keyword, by the way, that is being used these days in a lot of worship music. Listen for the word fire. Lots of fire in the worship. And I know why. I'm gonna get to the bottom of this. I'm not there yet. And I'm so looking forward to the Strange Fire Conference this fall in October in Los Angeles. It is going to be 3 days of jaw-droppingness. That's right. Of jaw-droppingness. And I mean, like, literally mean that. Going to be talking about some of the excesses in some of the strange fire that we are seeing these days, because the word fire is so big. Now, Dr. Michael Brown has been writing some very respectful letters, public letters, to John MacArthur about the Strange Fire Conference. I encourage you to go read those. They're at Charisma Magazine, so just Google Charisma, Dr. Michael Brown, Strange Fire. And one of the terms that Michael uses throughout of his articles is the word fire. We need to let the fire fall. We can't be quenching the Holy Spirit's fire. Now, here's what I want to figure out. What exactly do they mean by that? What? It seems to be, it's as best I can tell, a very big generic term for many things. Feelings, emotions, a stirring, a rousing of the soul, being on fire, as in not lukewarm, not cold, but on fire, hot for God. All of those things, I think, are a part of that. Now, here's what I want to do. I want to go do a little word study on the word fire, burn. Because I've got a funny feeling there is not a place in Scripture that paints it in a positive kind of way. And these days you hear a lot about fire in our worship songs. Is it a huge deal? I kind of think it is. If that language, if those terms start getting used and bandied about more and more by people, then they just become a part of our culture and they'll become a part of our theology. That's the way that it works. And that's the way the old guys used to do it. Now, they used to write a song, bad theology, the kids would sing it, ba-boom, ba-bing. Today, it happens with music, but it also happens with movies. Did you see Invictus? I did not. Was it rated R? I don't know. I wasn't interested. My understanding about the movie, at least according to Peter Hammond, and he's reliable enough, is that Nelson Mandela, basically, it focuses on the South African soccer team winning. They're the underdog in whatever year it was. They shouldn't have won. And it shows the South African soccer team winning, Nelson Mandela donning the jersey, and wow, look at that, they won because of Nelson Mandela? This was Clint Eastwood. Remember, we love Clint Eastwood. He talked to a chair at the Republican convention. He's one of us? It was a propaganda piece for Nelson Mandela. Dr. Peter Hammond reminding us this was not a fellow to be idolized. We actually read through your movie review of Invictus, and you just said, wait a second, Nelson Mandela wasn't a nice old grandpa. He was a bad guy. Still is.
Well, he legalized abortion, pornography, homosexuality, tried to legalize prostitution, didn't get that right, but, you know, got the Bible out of the schools, stopped prayer in Parliament. Friends of the Marxists, basically speaking, what Invictus left out was what he was in prison for. Which
details.
Was, yeah, exactly. And why let the facts get in the way of a good story?
Why was he in jail?
He was the head of the terrorist wing of the African National Congress, and he, as a trained lawyer, pleaded guilty in court to 156 acts of public violence and terrorism, including the Johannesburg railway station bombing, where women and children got mutilated and crippled, and people were killed with the bombs, and he pleaded guilty to those things. He was proud of this. So the film, for some reason, never lets you know why he was in prison. You get the impression he's in prison because he wrote a poem or something.
It'd be a pretty bad poem, I'm thinking.
I think the poem is the title. I am the captain of my own destiny, the captain of my own ship. Let's hope it's not a carnival cruise, but the point is that it's a humanist poem. So that's what I think that's what he was referring to. Now, another part of the movie that was fascinating, the coach, by all accounts, was an actual Christian man. Prayed before the games, prayed during, prayed afterwards. And they didn't really present him. They presented him more as kind of a carousing, swearing sort of fellow. Not as a Christian man, but they kind of gave it a wink and a nod as they went about the business of portraying him as kind of a scoundrel and a rascal. Christianity was should have been a part of the story, but it wasn't. It was downplayed so that we could all focus on Nelson Mandela, who, during his term, was very good at some things. For instance, he took the currency. When Nelson Mandela took office, apartheid is gone. By the way, after apartheid, I think, was in power, if you can phrase it like that, 46 years. 46 years. I'm doing this from memory. Over 46 years, 18,000 people were murdered because of apartheid. Nelson Mandela, average, every year he was in power, 25,000 people. A thug.
I've never heard.
He also took the currency, which was actually stronger than the American dollar when he took office. And then it got degraded, and they rate it, the wonks with money, they grade it. And it went from, like, what is it, an R2 to an R4 to an R8, which I think was a Star Wars character to boot. And he just decimated the currency, and it ended up being worth nothing more than a piece of toilet paper, and that's not an exaggeration. A gazillion, whatever the current dollars in South Africa, was worth toilet. They used it for toilet paper! Now, not only is that just a bad form of toilet paper, can you imagine the germs? But that's a different story for another day. This is the man that is our president's hero. A movie celebrating him. Communist. And most of the kids who went to see this have absolutely no idea that that's who it's about. So now we'll have a whole generation that's growing up that thinks Nelson Mandela is just the bee's knees. And you don't, you're not happy about all the wonderful things that are being said about him? No. He was a criminal. He was a dictator. He was a Marxist. He was a thug. He was immoral. He brought in all kinds of debauchery into the country, kicking God out. By the way, just a reminder, if you really want to go see something fascinating, go see President Obama stating in Kenya that he, hey, we just got to let the government do what the government wants to do regarding equal rights for people. And the president of Kenya, with all due respect, Mr. President, we're a God-fearing people. Skedaddle. That's what it used to be like in South Africa. Introduction, Nelson Mandela. Hey, speaking of movies that are coming out, there's a new movie coming out, 2014. It's an animated film called The Box Trolls. That's right, The Box Trolls.
Okay.
You can look forward to actually seeing the trailer yourself. Listen carefully.
Sometimes there's a mother. Sometimes there's a father. Sometimes there's a father and a father.
Huh?
Sometimes both fathers are mothers.
What? What? Sometimes both fathers are... Sometimes both mothers... A kid's movie. Coming to your Metroplex. You can see Invictus at the same time. This is Wretched Radio.
Whether you prefer witnessing face-to-face or handing out tracts, the biggest question Evangel Pack is a must. A spindle of 100 DVDs to hand out to friends, family, and, well, folks you may not have actually met yet. With a marvelous law and gospel presentation from Bob Glenn and Kirk Cameron, anyone who will watch The Biggest Question will have what they need to answer, well, The Biggest Question. So get your 100-count Biggest Question Evangel Pack today at WretchedRadio.com.
My 57 Chevy smashed by the Santa Fe Express?
Yeah, I feel real bad. I really shouldn't have parked your car so close to the railroad tracks.
This was the car my father bought for me on my graduation.
Look, here's the keys to my Pinto. It's the least I can do.
We worked on it all summer long together to restore it to its original condition.
I know, and I'm so sorry. Listen, I can make it up to you. I'll paint your house for you.
I was going to pass it on to my son for his graduation.
You like my wife's chili. Let's say I have her make a big pot, huh? You know, it looks like your trees need some pruning. I can paint your fence. Hun, can you put out a big pot of chili?
My car.
Better make that two pots.
100 good deeds can never erase one sin. Only Jesus can remove our sins, if we ask him to. Have you asked? Or are you trying to cover your sins with good deeds? A message from Lifeline Productions. 1-800-523-8669. LifelinePro.com.
Chances are pretty good if you're planning a vacation anytime soon, Moldova is not on your list of options. In fact, most adults are trying to escape Moldova because it is the poorest nation in Eastern Europe. Tomorrow Clubs wants to bring the gospel to Moldova. They already have 50 churches in place to bring the gospel to 50 communities. We need sponsors. Would you please go to WretchedRadio.com, learn more about Moldova, learn more about the Tomorrow Clubs. Visit WretchedRadio.com.
Now here's a clip of one of our favorite pastors here at Wretched Radio. This is Adrian Rogers.
Prayer is not some sort of a smokescreen that we can hide our sin in. The Bible clearly and plainly tells us if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. Now, it's the life that prays. You can preach without being right with God. You can teach without being right with God. You can witness without being right with God. You know why? All of that is man to man. You can have a teacher who might have a gift of knowledge and a gift of gab. He might teach good stuff and not be right with God. I'm not saying that you ought to, but I'm saying you can do it. But you can't pray and not be right with God. Do you know why? These other things are man to man, and we can fool one another, but prayer is man to God, and you can't fool God.
Listen and learn, and be ready to give an answer with Wretched Radio's Creation in the Gospel. Listen to Todd and experts from Answers in Genesis. Learn to debunk Darwin. Learn to find out the effects of the flood on evolution. Learn to make the connection from creation to the gospel. With these eight lessons, you won't be intimidated when you talk with evolutionists ever again. So be ready to give an answer. Get your copy of Creation and the Gospel today at wretchedradio.com.
Lucy, what's going on around here?
Lucy was billed as an ape woman and the missing link. In reality, Lucy was a work of art comprised of ape bones and plaster casts.
Now, Lucy?
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Nope. Nope. Not twice. Not going to get me twice.
Uh-uh.
Todd, it's time to start the show. Segment two, please.
Maybe you didn't get the memo over the 4th of July. This is... where we got unionized. Just take 15 minutes. I'm taking a break. I'll be with you in a bit.
Oh, well, then I understand. As long as it's union, then I understand.
Right, then it's good to go. This is Wretched Radio. All righty, which painful sound would you like to hear first? The painful sound from Seattle or from Wimbledon? Do you have a preference?
Seattle.
All righty, let's go to Seattle.
This painful is painful.
Yeah, this is going to be pretty short-lived, thankfully, because you really can't understand. I'll do my best to describe it. Some street preachers in Seattle, brave souls, at the Pride Fest, they were holding up some signs. Now, I'm inclined to not tell you what the signs read. Were they the sign that I would hold up? I don't know. Because I don't really remember exactly what they said. I don't think they were. Now, I'm not condemning their signs, okay? I think every Christian, if they're going to do some sort of open air, they're going to do some sort of street preaching, they're going to pass out a tract, they should figure out what they are comfortable with. And I think that there needs to be some variance. For instance, you've seen the sign on the street preachers or the sandwich board that says, turn or burn. Tony,
yeah.
Would you ever put on a sandwich board that says, turn or burn? Why not?
Unless it was maybe like for a hamburger shop, then I might, yeah.
There could, that actually.
See, that would work.
Might catch on.
Yeah.
Do you want the turn or burn with cheese? Or do you want, how would you like your turn or burn done? Well, I don't want it well done, because then it would be burned, and this is turn
well,
or
then the
burn.
Burn's out. So yeah. I'll take the turn and cheese.
It's got some things to get ironed out, but the point is, okay, you wouldn't use the turn or burn. Why not? What would be the problem?
It's a little harsh and it's short of
explanation. Is it wrong?
No, technically it's not wrong.
Okay, so it's not wrong. You just think that it's not filled with enough information to make it reasonable.
Yes.
I would agree with that. Now, if I saw somebody on the street with a turn or burn, would I walk up to them and go, you bad Christian, you... No, I wouldn't. I just wouldn't do it. And I think if you do it, knock yourself out. It's just not what I would choose. I don't think we're living in Old Testament times. I checked a calendar. I'm pretty certain on that statistic. This isn't the nation of Israel. We've been hearing that America doesn't know a whole lot about Jesus, especially in Seattle. And so to just say turn or burn makes no sense. It seems kind of threatening. So you do it if you want to. I would just choose something different. Now, their signs didn't say turn or burn, but I believe they said something like a repent or burn, or repent or perish, or repent, something like that. Again, I just don't think it had enough information. It's not what I would do, but those were the signs that they were holding up. Now, you're going to hear what happened to these poor fellows. They're holding up their signs. Regardless of what the signs said, let's just say it said decree and declare it. You know, that lie from prosperity preachers. By the way, I don't mind telling you, I haven't had to decree or declare for days, and we keep finding good parking places. I'm telling you.
Probably hangover from the original decree and declare.
I'm starting to, maybe Joel is right on all this decreeing and declaring business. Now, let's just say that their sign said decree or declare. That's something I wouldn't put up for sure. That would be flat out wrong. Doesn't matter. What you're about to hear, and I'll try to describe it for you. Dude, shaved head. I'm thinking he's coming in at about 240. Right now he's got a tank top on. I can see his left shoulder. I can't quite make out the tattoo. but he's about to go after the guy who's holding the sign. Kind of getting the scene. Now there's some shoving going on. Okay, Jesus saves from sin. That's what part of the sign said. Jesus saves from sin. I'd carry that sign. That doesn't bother me. Nope. They're not real happy about it. So now Mr. Tank Top is getting more wound up. Why he felt the need to take off the tank top, I don't know. It looks to me like his movement was just fine in the big old tank top that he was wearing, but he decides to.
Could be a whole lot of premeditation.
There goes, and now he's got to pull up his trousers. He's sagging. The guy with the sign's kind of...
Shut up. If I were you, I would
If I were you, I would bleeping leave, said the woman at the Pride Fest. Did I mention this was Pride Fest? Because remember, it's all about tolerance. You haven't been on that street? Look for the one-way sign.
If I were you, I would leave. Right now, I would leave.
Oh, big boy just shoved a guy really hard.
Stop the line, it's the door job to judge them.
It's not your job to judge, which, of course, we all recognize now is a judgment statement. She is absolutely furious, making violent... I mean, she's, like, shaking her head. She cannot control herself. She is so angry. Dude with the sign, standing his ground, just holding his sign. Now two women are grabbing for the sign. Now three women are chasing the guy with the sign. Okay, repent or else is what it says on one side. Repent or else. And then, okay, I'm trying to read the other side. I can't really read it. Okay, repent or else.
If you try to look through the other side of the monitor, that won't help.
You mean this isn't 3D?
Sorry.
If I tip my head like that's not really helping.
There, that might help, yeah.
I see. If I clean the screen, would that help a little bit, too?
That would probably help a big deal.
Denny Burke rightly pointed this out. Let me read the headline to you. There are many different stories. And by the way, thank you for sending these, because it was fascinating to read the redundancy. Here's a good example. Go type it. Google. Be careful what pops up. Seattle Gay Pride Street Preacher. Or better yet, as many of the headlines said, protesters. These were street protesters. No, they were there preaching. We called them protesters because, I don't know, maybe they didn't want people to think that people at a pride parade might be guilty of hurting homophobic Christians.
How it starts.
Oh, I can read it now. Hold on. Idolatry, pornography, drug use, drunkenness, TV worship, Jesus saves from sin. So one of the signs is about idolatry. All right. Again, whether I would put that one up or not, I don't think there was anything wrong about that. Jesus saves from sin. And on the other side, it says repent or else. Okay. The repent or else, I wouldn't put that one up. It's the gospel is a command. It just repent or else sounds more like, hey, knock it off or else, kind of. Just not as thorough as I would do. But does that deserve this?
We're on the high. There are like a bunch of us.
Materialism. Idolatry is materialism, pornography, drug use, etc. Okay, now the three women are yelling at him. The cops are coming. Let's go. But all of a sudden, out of the blue... One guy jumps the guy with the pole. Oh, and the big boy comes in and hits him in the head. And now he's hitting him in the head again, and hitting him in the head again. And again, this is a brawl. This is a Donnybrook going on. We got cage match. Women are jumping on top. It is complete mayhem.
Somebody flatlined.
Okay, dokie. I think we all get the point, don't we?
Wow.
Seattle.
I do have one question, though.
You know, that's Greek for city of brotherly love.
I do.
Maybe it's.
I looked through Seattle gay pride protesters on Google.
Yeah, uh-huh.
The story even made PharmacyReviewer.com.
Right, but what you'll notice when you read through the
Pharmacy
story...
Pharmacy Reviewer?
Pharmacy Reviewer? Well, sure, because these people all needed to go to the hospital when it was done. So now, read through the different articles, and you'll just notice how much of the language is the same. Because some release gets sent out, and people literally grab the headline language. They grab just fact for fact for fact. As based on one press release. The word protester. They weren't protesting. They were preaching. And what did they get for their troubles? Well, they got a little smackdown. Here are the police. Guy's t-shirt says, Trust Jesus. Police are now arresting a couple of people. I wish he'd put his tank top back on. Dude has a hairier back than Mad Dog Vachon.
Is that the scrawny guy with arrested. The beard? Or was it
not the...
the
guy with the beard. The guy with the beard is
with the blue shorts?
The short one who came flying in.
Yeah.
He's the one who finally decided, I'm going to do a little smackdown here. And then Baldy, without the tank top, jumped in on
okay,
top.
Okay, is he the one with the blue and yellow shorts? Is that the guy that decided
that would
to pick
be,
up
that
the tank
be the
top?
Fellow.
Oh, yeah, dude, don't do that. Yeah,
yeah,
do
it's
that.
A good rule. I don't think any fellow should ever take off his tank top. Ever.
Unless he's aiming for the shower.
Privacy of his own home.
That'd be good. Just right there.
Rule of thumb. I don't want to sound judgmental or intolerant, but...
Too late.
That's Seattle. At a Pride Fest. Now, did you hear about that, by the way, in the mainstream media? I don't think so. I didn't. Now, granted, I was not watching a ton of television during the 4th of July when this happened. I didn't see it anywhere. Now, this got sent to us at idea@wretchedradio.com a bunch. So it's
out
there.
It's kind of all over the web.
LifeSite News. LifeSite News has got this. LifeSite News. Yep. What... Did CNN? Nah.
No.
Did Diane Sawyer pick up on this one?
Probably not.
Nah. Denny Burke, I don't know anything about the preachers except they were preaching the following, repent or else Jesus saves from sin. In short, the preachers called homosexuality a sin, and they paid a price for doing so. The video makes clear that when the preachers were beaten, they did not retaliate. You probably picked that up. I think I included that in my play-by-play description. Which tells them, I've always wondered if I could do play-by-play.
You could do it.
Yeah.
You can now go around the country to gay pride parades.
You know, the only thing I'd... Oh, and now look, oh, the thing with the... Oh, hey, speaking of
right
play-by-play, did you watch any of the Wimbledon over 4th of July?
A little bit.
Fascinating. Fascinating match. Andrew Murray, Scottish guy, finally embraced by the British public because basically after he lost last year in the finals against Roger Federer of Switzerland, he basically broke
Scotland.
Down... And he cried. And it was pretty moving. Well, then he went on to win the Olympics, and he won the U.S. Open. Well, now he's back in the finals. And the breakfast at Wimbledon, we T-bowed, said that this is the greatest pressure that they've any of these athletes had ever seen heaped onto one individual, ever. World Cup not
yeah.
close. Super Bowl
what,
not
1936
close.
Since the Brits have won their own tournament?
Yeah, 77 years. So yeah. This guy wins three sets, grueling, fun match to watch, and the place basically goes nuts. He gets his little cup, gives his little speech, no tears this time, so it was kind of anticlimactic, and then he was a gentleman, and he spent some time strolling around the stadium, and I watched it, because I like seeing the grounds, I'm intrigued by that stuff, and then he takes the walk back to the locker room, and I noticed the crowds were quickly dwindling, and I was reminded of David Wheaton, who won this huge tournament in Japan, I think like 2 or 5 million, something like that. And the applause, and he beats Michael Chang, and everybody's woo, 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 woo. And then he's standing on the court all alone with his trophy, and everybody went home, and it was all done. Vanity, vanity, even Wimbledon is vanity, which is where we're going next on Wretched Radio.
It's so easy to fall into a ditch. And when it comes to Holy Spirit theology, some people fall into some pretty zany ditches. And we conservatives, sometimes the Holy Spirit becomes just a theology. What's the balance? Find it in Drive-By Pneumatology. How do we get more of the Holy Spirit? What exactly does he do? Drive by pneumatology. Gleaned from all of the great teachings from the 2012 Psalm 119 conference. Drive by pneumatology. Available at wretchedradio.com.
TLC, Tender Loving Care. They're almost the forgotten initials in our world that has become punctuated with the instant, the shortened, the concentrated. My husband Jack loves green peas, so even though our meal preparation may be rushed, I'll often take the time to prepare green peas. It's a small thing, and yet when Jack says, "Oh, you fixed those just for me," I know it speaks volumes of my love. No creed, no theology can fulfill the need that compassionate, sensitive care can fulfill in a body of believers. 1 Corinthians 12:26 says, "Members should have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." Beloved, TLC is a worthy pursuit. This is Kay Arthur with precepts from God's Word.
What's your first reaction when you hear sharing your faith? For a lot of us, share your faith means
scary.
That's why there's Terrified, an MP3 disc of 26 witness encounters to give you the flavor of what it's like to share your faith, and with its ever-popular step-by-step study manual, you will learn the biblical principles for how to share your faith and be in control of every encounter. Terrified, the MP3 disc and study guide available right now at wretchedradio.com.
The Resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is Ken Ham, an Aussie-American with a passion for God's Word. Have you ever considered how important the resurrection is? All of human history hinges on it. You see, the miracle of the resurrection secured the hope of every believer, and it's even a sign to unbelievers. The apostles believed that Christ's resurrection was so important that it became the heart of their message. They went forth in confidence that their message was true, and they turned the world upside down with the gospel. They faced death and persecution along the way. You know, sadly, many Christians today don't take the time to consider the importance of the resurrection. They think about it only on Easter Sunday, when it should always be central to the gospel of Christ. Join me this week as we look at the biblical evidence for Christ's resurrection.
Want to learn more about the life of Christ? Visit our Bible-defending website at answersingenesis.org. Learn what Christ has done for us at answersingenesis.org.
Usually when we talk the Wretched Store, we're talking those wonderful Wretched DVDs, CDs, MP3s, and tracks. And on the bookshelves, a wonderful selection, including Milton Vincent's Gospel Primer, a fine selection of books from the Puritans, and for you drive-by parenting fans, Ted Tripp's Shepherding a Child's Heart. Written for parents with kids of any age, this insightful book provides perspective and procedures for shepherding your child's heart into the paths of life. So check out the bookshelf at the Wretched Store at wretchedradio.com.
It's a little early for scripture. I'm going to work.
Archaeologist Dr. William F. Albright said, "The excessive skepticism shown toward the Bible has been progressively discredited. Discovery after discovery has established the accuracy of numerous details."
Any of this getting through that little old blue bonnet of yours?
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's go to jolly old England, shall we? This is Wretched Radio. Let's remind ourselves that anecdotes do not necessarily a pattern make. But it sure does seem like we're getting awfully close, doesn't it? All over the globe, we are seeing, especially in Western, of all places, in Western civilization, Christians being treated differently. Now, don't get me wrong, they're not being treated so hot in the Middle East. They're getting booted all over the place, imprisoned, beaten, set on fire, heads being cut off from the religion of peace. But now more and more in the West, Islam defended, and Christianity mocked and scolded. Let's go to Wimbledon, shall we? Tony Miano and the boys decided to descend upon the lovely grounds of Wimbledon. No strawberries and clotted cream for them. They were there to do some open-air preaching. And you got a lot of people visiting. It's a good place to go open preaching, open-air preaching. Tony and the boys did. Got arrested for their trouble. You remember Great Britain? The country that gave us the Magna Carta? You remember that old concept that religious freedom? You remember how the Anglicans wanted that, then the dissenters wanted that, then the Puritans wanted that? You remember that, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, apparently now you preach anything even close to biblical truth in the open air, you're going to get yourself in some hot water. As a side note, in jolly old England, in the little village of Wimbledon, there are a number of Anglican churches, and if you think that they might be cute, think even cuter. Wimbledon, you know, with the ivy, the tennis stadium is kind of the big draw every year.
The
and you think
courts,
the little streets with the little shops and the nice Anglican churches, because they sure do know how to build a cute church, don't they? Well, there's a number of them there. One of them is exceedingly liberal. Another one of them, though, seems to be holding on to its conservative side by one vicar, James Pace. It's likely you don't remember his name, but I do. 6 years ago, give or take, Ray Comfort had one of his ideas, who, by the way, is also going to be at, check this out, Ray Comfort and Easy are going to be at the Answers in Genesis conference in Sevierville. Did you know that? I just found out this weekend. Ray Comfort has done a brand new movie about atheism. You have to see it. And you will see it if you go to the Answers in Genesis conference. Visit their website. You can still get tickets, and you can go for a family conference all week long. And on Monday night, they are going to be premiering it at the Answers in Genesis conference. Can't wait. It is outstanding. It is so good. If you can get to the Answers in Genesis mega conference, you'll see it, and we'll all be together hanging out on Monday night. I get to speak it three times. Yikes. On Tuesday, it's going to be a great conference. Didn't know Ray was going to be there until just this weekend. Well, about 6 years ago, he decided, let's go to Europe and let's just traipse around all over the place. Filming, doing open-air preaching. And when we were in England, a fellow named Vicar James Pace volunteered to take our little crew around. He's the guy who got us into St. Paul's Cathedral, got us into the basement, the place where Tyndale was put on trial. Then he got us into an Anglican church of a friend of his where we did a ton of filming, found a magnificent portrait that showed Tyndale on his deathbed, Roman Catholics on one side, Protestants on the other side, rich with meaning, a battle over the Bible, should the peasantry be allowed to read the scriptures, and we shot a ton of On the Shoulders of Giants, thanks to Vicar James Pace. For some reason, I don't know if God has ever done this to you, but for some reason, this guy has stayed in my noggin for years. Maybe because of his kindness. We had a great time together, great fellowship, but I've been praying for him and for his church for years. So, for some reason, because Wimbledon was on last weekend, I went Googling in the thing, and I typed in his name, and it's like, what do you know? There was a headline, Conservative Anglicans Battling Against Liberalism in the Church. Guess who was leading that little skirmish? Vicar James Pace. Well done, sir. So I find his email address, and I send him a little note. Hey, James, just wanted you to be encouraged. I remember you, been praying for you and for your church for years. Be encouraged. He sends back a note, toot sweet. That's British talk. He said, very busy right now with Tony Miano and a group of evangelists from the States. He was actually hosting them there and taking care of them. And I sent back a note that said, careful you don't get arrested. And he said, too late for that. Tony Miano was actually arrested for doing open-air preaching. What was he preaching? Well, listen to the vitriol coming out of this man.
What is sexual immorality? Well, there are many different definitions. The world's definition is, well, as long as you don't hurt somebody. That's the world's definition. Other than that, everything goes. God's definition is very, very simple.
Uh-oh.
It is the union of one man to one woman for life. There is no other form of sexuality. There is no other form of intimate relationship that is acceptable to God but the union of one man to one woman for life.
Uh-oh.
Everything else, everything
else. He's so angry as he says it.
Is an abomination to God.
Yeah, doesn't he sound like a jerk? Yeah. Well, that was basic. So this went on for 15 minutes. A woman dressed in a black T-shirt starts to kind of swoop and surround, and she takes out her camera.
Ma'am, I hope you get all of this, and I hope you watch it, and I hope you will come to know the truth. Unfortunately, now that the laws have changed in your country, I'm allowed to say these things.
Hold on, Tony.
And so I'm not threatened at all by your camera. Not at all. No.
Now that the laws have changed, well, they hadn't quite changed yet, and that was the problem. You see, in Great Britain, somebody came up with a brilliant idea called Section 5 of the Public Order Act, which criminalized insulting language. Uh-oh, that's a problem. Criminalizing insulting language. That means if you get bugged by somebody out in the streets, all you need to do is pick up your telephone and you call the popo. And they show up.
Just as you know it's wrong to steal and harbor bitterness and resentment in your heart. Yes, sir.
Sure. Someone's just phoned up concerned about...
Yes, this lady over here.
Ah, okay. Was it regarding like homophobic remarks or anything like that?
Nothing homophobic about my remarks. And now that the laws have changed, insult has been removed from that...
Could I just ask what...
Now, just so you know, that law has not been overturned yet. It's in the process, and maybe it has since this date, a few days ago. But at the time, not yet. Insulting remarks, insulting language against the law. The woman was offended. She calls the police. Now, these police officers, three of them showed up, the Bobbies. They could not have been more polite or more British. Completely wrong. I mean, they're just following the laws, but they were complete gentlemen, as you would expect.
I'm preaching the gospel, preaching from the Word of God. Yep.
Okay. What sort of things have you been saying?
I've been speaking about...
I need to work out what's going on.
Sure, I've been speaking about sexual immorality.
Okay. Mm-hmm. In regards to which way?
In regards to which way? Why does it matter? Could a heterosexual call up and complain and have the street preacher shut down?
Every way. Homosexuality, heterosexuality,
okay.
Thoughts, lusts of the flesh,
okay.
Lusts of the eyes. I've been speaking about all forms of sexual immorality.
But it's not all forms of sexual immorality that they're that concerned about. They're just concerned about one particular type because someone was offended that he was talking about a particular form of sexuality.
Someone is getting offended enough to call us.
Right, but now that the laws have changed in your country over the last couple of months, the fact that they're offended by what I'm saying is no longer a breach of peace.
Do you know what lady it was?
I believe it was this lady right back here with the backpack.
Now,
dude,
we're waiting
to have you arrested every single day.
That's a scary thought. You got that right. This is the beginning of that there slippery slope. Now, I could call up. What are the specials of the day? They're the specials du jour. All right, that was offensive. I'm calling up the Bobbies and having the wait. What's an offensive speech? Now, reading an article in the London Telegraph, I believe that's where this came from, Christina O'Done, saying banning the term gay is an insult to free speech. Michael Gove, G-O-V-E, the impressive Secretary of State for Education, has just decreed that the term gay cannot be used as an insult. It's outrageous and medieval to do so. She then starts talking about Mr. Tony Miano had been afraid of this offensive speech that could get you arrested. The American street preacher was arrested outside of Center Court Shopping Center in Wimbledon on July the 1st. By the way, the bus sounds that you hear? Yep, those double-decker red buses. Need a little WD-40 on those bad boys. He'd been reading from St. Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, which condemns homosexuality. I wonder if she meant 1 Timothy, 1... whatever. Nonetheless, he was talking about all forms of sexual immorality. as you are about to hear, for his troubles? You're coming with us, sir.
Why would you... Officer, why are you taking my camera?
Okay, I'll explain.
Okay.
Okay, I'm arresting you. Section 5, public order. Okay, this is because people have been offended by what you said. Okay, you do not have to say anything. By main humble defense, you do not mention when questions or something which you led to a line for. Anything you do say may be given evidence. Firstly, this is so we can talk to you about it on tape at the police station. As we get any further, people are becoming offended here.
Now, you have to hear what he said. He basically read him his rights and said, we're going to take you to the police station so that we don't have to talk about it here, so that no more people can be offended. Because I might ask you what you said and somebody walking by might be offended again.
I fully understand your point. You're here, same as saying, but people are happy walking past and a bit quite offended by it. Okay. So we'll come to the police station and we can discuss it then.
Okay. Can I leave my property with my friends?
We'll sort this out now, yeah?
Now, I have to confess, I've never seen three finer gentlemen than the ones who took Tony Miato to jail, where he had DNA tests, his fingerprints taken, he was relieved of his wedding ring, locked in a small cell, and he was told that, sorry, after he was interrogated, you're probably going to be here for a while. In fact, it could be months. Police asked if I'd ever feed a homosexual or do them a favor. What kind of interrogation is
what?
This? I said, yes, of course. The Bible taught that I should love my neighbor as myself. The policeman asked if I believed homosexuality was a sin. And I realized that I was not only being interrogated about what had happened, but what I believed. He had condemned while preaching pornography, slushy novels, as they say in Great Britain. But it was clear to him that the police were only interested in one thought crime. Just as Mr. Gove, the education sec, seems only interested in one kind of insult. You can believe that homeopathy cures ailments, but not that homosexuality is a sin. You can call someone a bigot, but you can't call something or someone gay. Footnote. 7 hours later, after requesting a Bible and singing hymns, he was released. After being told it could be months. He asked if he could keep the Gideon Bible that he'd received in prison when it turned out to be the only copy the police station had. Probably King James. King James.
Well,
James.
Gideon it is, yeah.
Great Britain. King James. He was told that it was the only copy, and he asked if he could provide a few more for them, so he left it behind, and the following day, Tony Miano, the big jerk, dropped off 10 copies of the good book at the Wimbledon police station. Hater! He's a hater!
See how he is.
Yeah. It's happening in Great Britain. It's coming to a town near you, and you don't even need to play tennis. Until next time, go serve your king.